board and other boards, serious consideration should be given to this issue of the movement of antibiotic resistance and genetic information, which goes right through sewer plants. Sewer plants are not capable of dealing with this whatsoever. So it winds up either in the effluent or in the sludge, which is then applied to land or to waters or the marine environment. What we're seeing is a tremendous amount of antibiotic resistance growing in the community. Give an example from Pennsylvania. We only have data from Pennsylvania. There are about 12,000 confirmed hospital-acquired infections from a composite of 173 hospitals, of which 1,700 people, almost 1,800 people, died. 205,000 extra days at a cost of $2 billion just for that state alone. The cost difference between somebody acquiring an infection in a hospital is $29,000 for a non-infected patient, $8,000. So we should be able to see that this is a fairly serious issue, but it's not being addressed, as far as I know, at all by any of the boards, and I think it is something worthy of consideration. Certainly the state needs to step in the absence of federal standards.
Question for you is, who at the state level have you spoken to?
And I've spoken to basically the water boards. I've spoken to the, go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. After you're done, I have another question.
Yeah, anybody at the state water board in Sacramento?
I don't know who I've talked to, but I have made telephone calls to various people, and I've done this over the last couple of years. And I haven't been able to track down any agency or anybody that really has a good grip on this. I've talked to the integrated waste management at the state level. They do nothing at all in it. I talked to somebody at the San Luis Obispo office in your staff about it. He was very interested in it, but said basically nothing had been done about it, although he would carry the information further up. So the question is, what is being done by the state, if anything, about this? Certainly the feds aren't. The EPA isn't, and the CDC tells me via email they're not either. So,
Dr. Bowker, did you have a comment?
Just a quick explanation. How does antibiotic resistance pass through a wastewater system?
Through the microorganisms and the genetic material that they release. If you pull up your email as of today, there's a fairly detailed analysis of how this happens in that email. The material that I gave you gives you an inkling of it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Question?
Yes.
I missed that one.
Are you aware at all of maybe other states that have taken action? Because what I'm getting at is what do you think the state should be doing at this point? Should it be studying the issue at the level of sewage treatment? Should the state be considering promulgating standards? You said there are no standards regarding antibiotic resistance and sewage treatment. Has anybody developed model standards? What could we do?
I think, first of all, what you need is a legitimate study on the ability of sewer treatment plants to clear pathogens and their resistance. They either go into the wastewater, they're not killed, or into the sewer sludge, which is then applied across thousands of acres of land.
Okay.
This needs to be ascertained. There are hundreds of papers by peer-reviewed journals that say this happens. So the literature are there. Now, if you ask EPA what they're doing, and they were admonished in 2002 by the National Academy of Sciences to look at this, if you ask them what they've done in the interim, the answer is nothing. And CDC is not doing anything in this area. So my suggestion is there's a huge vacuum that needs to be filled. But first, we need a legitimate study, not by industry, but a legitimate academic study of how this happens, and then what can we do about it? In the meantime, we're just flushing this stuff down. Let me give you an example. SARS was highly controlled in Toronto when it broke out there. It cost that city billions of dollars. They didn't pay any attention to the fact that the feces was flushed down the toilet, went out into the lake, or went out on farmland. They just completely missed it. Nobody really thinks about these things. Flush it and it's gone. Don't worry about it. That's not the reality.
And as far as you know, we don't have models of engineering solutions from other countries.
Not that I'm aware of. This is fairly cutting edge stuff, but I think you guys need to be aware of it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? Okay, you know what I might suggest to you? The regional boards don't do basic research. And so, it's something really beyond our capability when we really need some good studies done. I can tell you an approach that, might work. And that is something that was done down in Santa Monica when the groups down there wanted to look at the health effects of the stormwater drains?
Outfalls.
Yeah, well, I thought stormwater drains emptying onto the beaches. There was like 30 or 40 of them. And Heal the Bay got together with the State Water Board, and they helped to fund a scientific study as to the health effects. And it's actually been, it published a few years ago, but it had a lot of good information in it that really detailed the problems with these dry weather flows out of the storm drains. So my suggestion would be is team together with other groups, like-minded groups, like Citizens Planning Association, kind of define the research area, and then go to the state board, and someone on our staff can help you with who those contact points would be.
I would appreciate that.
And to make a pitch. Mm-hmm. And you could even get Heal the Bay would be interested in joining on in that. I'm sure all the channel keeper organizations would be interested. Heal the Ocean. There's a whole host of them you could line up, for support.
I would add in an academic component. I would add in, if as you say, the journals are full of studies, I would identify faculty in the public health schools, UCLA, Berkeley, for example, to collaborate with the kind of non-governmental organizations that Mr. Young's talking about, and the state. That would be a very powerful threesome, the academic group, the NGO, the state, to fund that kind of work so that we have something that we can act on.
Okay. Before I leave, am I understanding you to say that you would support going further into this by indicating some of your staff to help work on this?
Well, no. No. I'm only suggesting that you could call our staff, mm-hmm. and they could tell you who should be contacted at the state board.
At the state board?
Yeah.
Okay.
The State Water Board is our mother agency in Sacramento. They're the ones that have funds that can be allocated for certain types of basic research.
Right.
We don't have that capability here.
All right.
Okay.
But can I use your good offices to at least understand who to discuss it with and which you're initiating? Yes, okay.
Any member of the public can call Mr. Briggs' office and learn how to use the system and who to contact and who to approach and get right to the right people.
Very good.
So I would encourage you to do that. And just for your information, we have identified that issue as one of about 12 or 15 issues that in an ideal world, our board would like to be getting our hands on, but because it tends toward more basic research, we just put it aside.
Okay.
Because we can't deal with it at this point in time.
All right. May I come back to you with a report at some point?
At any time you want to give us a report, we'll be glad to accept it.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. All of you.
Okay, Don Bearden. And if anyone else who's come into the room wanted to address this at public comment, I would get a card in the back and then pass it up forward. Okay, Mr. Bearden.
Don Bearden at 1411 7th Street in Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone. I attended the Los Osos CSD Board of Directors meeting last night. The directors were adamant that they were going to move the Los Osos wastewater treatment plant out of town. If you allow this to occur, then the project will be set back another 2 to 3 years if we're lucky. I know that there are negotiations going on to allow this. I urge this board to use every means at their disposal to compel the Los Osos CSD to continue with the present project as designed, permitted, and construction already started. If you have to get a court order to compel them to restart construction, then please do so. I have given a DVD to you that shows director comments at the end of the meeting. It's about 20, 30 minutes worth. You can see by their own words that they have no intention of building a wastewater plant at the Tri-W site. Thank you for your prompt attention to this matter.
And who did you give the DVD to? Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chuck Sasena, followed by Joe Sparks.
Good evening, or good afternoon, Mr. Young and members of the board. My name is Chuck Sasena, and I'm here representing the Los Osos Community Services District. I'm here to reiterate the fact that this board wants to build a wastewater treatment project. We just want a project that is affordable and sustainable. Those are two criteria mentioned in the Porter-Cologne Act when it comes to designing and building wastewater treatment facilities. If you remember nothing else that I say today, please remember sustainability and affordability. Sustainability doesn't mean the ability to run electric pumps and motors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to harvest water that would otherwise bubble up in people's backyard through a faulty disposal scheme. And it doesn't mean the ability to run pumps 24/7 to create a negative pressure system so that odors don't escape into the neighborhoods nearby. Sustainability means protecting our water supply. I know that you'll say affordability means build it now. If we delay, we pay. As pointed out in the facilities report that you had access to back in 2001, when the community only had access to an environmental impact report, the out-of-town, east edge of town project was always cheaper, and it was always the environmentally preferred. Both the sustainability and the affordability issues are directly affected by the location of this plant in the middle of town. All of the extra energy required to odor scrub, the extra visual amenities to try and hide the fact that it's an industrial facility in the middle of town, all of this is related to that decision to site it in the middle of town. Putting a plant on the east edge of town would also facilitate an ag exchange program as required by the Coastal Commission permit. That would be the quickest way to stem the tide of saltwater intrusion that we're currently faced with. We're going to have to be looking at importing water if we don't do something about that. And trading farmers for their water is probably the quickest way to quit or reduce the pumping from the west side of town. Last night, the new board directed our staff to prepare a letter having the collection system contractors resume work pending release of the state revolving fund loans currently being held for work that's already been done. We owe the contractors that money. We would like to amend the contract to move the plant east of town. We believe we can save money that way. We believe we can develop a more sustainable and affordable project that way. Measure B prevents us from building it at the current location. We cannot override the will of the people. Thank you for your time. Affordability and sustainability.
Mr. Sasena, has your board taken any steps to terminate the contract?
No.
To stop the plant from being
built? Suspended. According to the contract approved by the state board, we suspended the work for 30 days to get a look at where we were at. And what we wanted to do next.
When did the 30 days expire?
Would have been probably the first week in October, I believe, that action was taken. So I would guess the first week of November.
Okay. This is just out of curiosity. I know that you guys are interested in a different location that would not use air scrubbers. Don't you feel at some point in the future that the community would grow out to that site and you would just be faced with that issue all over again?
Not if we haven't imported water. I think water importation and zoning, land use. I believe what did the Coastal Commission call it, the Watsonville straitjacket, the zoning put around the high school that was built on the west side of Highway 1 up there, when really that was prohibited by the Coastal Act, but the community felt that was the only place they could build the high school, and the zoning restrictions put around that. The Coastal Commission feels is going to prevent further development, and when you move a school, you almost invite development. Everybody wants to live near the school. They call it the Watsonville straitjacket. I think that proper land use and that sort of thing, zoning regulations and adherence to those, now that takes political will too. But I also think that finding a way to live within the water we have within our basin is a critical component of controlling growth. And the previous board had already submitted an application to import state water, which was a promise that this previous project was going to avoid. Protection of our groundwater resources. If we're not putting the effluent back into the ground, if we're giving it to the farmers instead, we're not even putting water at 7 milligrams per liter nitrate back into the ground. We'll clean up that upper basin quicker with an ag exchange program.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Joe Sparks.
Chairman Young, board members and the staff, I'm Joe Sparks. I'm a resident of Los Osos and a homeowner within the Prohibition Zone. 7 years ago, approximately, I voted against the formation of the Los Osos Community Services District, and I did not vote for a single member of the original Los Osos Community Service District Board. In fact, in 7 years and five elections, there have only been two members of the board that I have voted for, and none on the present board. You are looking at about just the least represented voter in Los Osos. I and three other citizens provided ballot arguments against Measure B. I apologize to this body and to my community for failing to convince the community to reject what I believe is a restrictive and counterproductive ordinance. Unfortunately, recent events are validating the arguments that we made. I think the supporters of moving the sewer would have been better off putting a bond measure on the ballot for the design and construction of an out-of-town sewer rather than the ordinance that they put before the voters. But my message is for this body and the Los Osos Community Services District to act with deliberate diligence to ensure that the Los Osos Community Service District administers a compliant wastewater treatment system for Los Osos. It is the interest of all that this body and the state of California protect the interest of the ratepayers and taxpayers who will bear the cost of protecting groundwater in Los Osos, many of whom had no vote in the implementation of Measure B. I believe for the long-term interest in protection of our groundwater that our local control of our water resources in Los Osos does need to continue. To that end, I ask the staff and the board to provide the necessary guidance, consideration, and assistance to the Los Osos Community Services District Board so that the current situation can be remedied to ensure the future viability of the Los Osos Community Services District. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Marketson, and that's our last speaker card.
Richard Marketson. The first item I want to talk about is an information item for the board. Staff may already know this, but I think it's something you need to know before the December 1st hearing on the Los Osos fines. At the court hearing on October 6th, with the Taxpayer Watch versus the CSD, at that Friday hearing, staff senior counsel, Lori Okun, was at the table with the Taxpayer Watch attorney assisting. When legal counsel for the district objected, Judge Hilden sustained that objection. She did not leave the dais at that point and continued to make notes and pass information to the legal counsel. My problem with this is due process. The state board and the regional board at that point in time, even though they are a party of interest, were not a party to that action by the taxpayer watch. It's totally inappropriate, and I don't believe that Los Osos due process on December 6th, I have some serious concerns as to whether we get a fair hearing. Also in the audience was Mr. Huebner and Sorrel Marks. Bringing that to your attention, it's a concern in Los Osos, people are talking about it, it was totally inappropriate. Staff works for the state of California. State of California is made up of the citizens of California. Los Osos is made up of some of those citizens. But the next point I want to talk about is, Chuck was talking about the saltwater intrusion. Los Osos has serious saltwater intrusion, but none of this project and none of the recommendations from regional board, and I know it may be out of your purview, but I don't remember ever seeing a letter where you've ever extended a time period or given us leeway where part of the response was, in the meantime, please try to do whatever you can to conserve water while we're getting this project underway. Los Osos currently uses, on average, 14 units of water per household compared to Cambria, which uses 6, and Morro Bay, which uses 5. So when we hear in these reports 1 million gallons a day of effluent being pumped into the bay, where in the past is there some responsibility from the county level or the CSD when it was initially started to try to stem that pattern? And what effect might that have had? Our nitrate study that just came out is pretty consistent with what it's been for the last 2 years. It's 10.4 average. You wonder what that would have done, what would have happened to that if we had had some water conservation measures in place. Serious water conservation. We have nothing. We don't have toilet retrofit. We don't have showerhead, aerator, landscaping, anything. We're water wasters. Thank you.
A couple of comments. One is, I wasn't at the court hearing, and don't know what happened with that, only from what I read in the paper. And as far as our staff attending a court proceeding, the staff members that you've identified are all on one team, so to speak,
right,
with this issue.
Right.
So Sorrel Marks and Gerhard Huebner and Lori Oaken do not consult with the board. So, I mean, they consult with themselves about these issues. There may be a perception out there that somehow they're maybe working with other agencies or entities, but when it comes to the December 1st hearing on this item, that's a whole different forum, and no one on this board has been consulting with them.
No, I understand that, but they will be the ones preparing and having input on the report that will come before you as to what to do about the fines.
They will be making a recommendation. That's very true.
Okay.
And you will have the opportunity to comment on that recommendation.
Absolutely.
And to put forth your own evidence. You can try to impeach anybody you want.
Okay.
Put forth competing information, and the board will sit as judges and decide what to do.
Okay.
But that hearing is going to be as fair as it can possibly be done in an administrative setting. Okay?
And my concern is that staff already has a bias, and that bias was shown in public at that court hearing by staff counsel being at the dais with the counsel for the taxpayer watch. You can't tell me that's appropriate.
Well, Mr. Shalpron.
That's only part of staff, and that's the part of the staff that's on the prosecution. Mm-hmm. Prosecution, in any case, always has a bias. And the defense always has a bias. That's our system. It's an adversarial system. The prosecution brings charges, and the defense defends against it. And we sit here as judges, and we have nothing to do with the prosecution in a case like this. But to expect the prosecution not to have a bias just denies our whole system of justice.
But you're telling me that circumstance doesn't bother any of you at this point?
No.
Wow. That's a shame. And Los Osos has a concern about it.
Well, they, you know, they can express their concern and do what they feel is appropriate under the circumstances. And Ms. Okun is not the board's attorney on the Los Osos matter. We have other counsel that has been assigned to us by the State Water Board.
And counsel doesn't talk back and forth between each other on Los Osos matters when they've had experience.
Why don't you come up here so we could, everyone can hear you.
And staff doesn't talk to each other when they have experience on another project in the state to get background information. You can't tell me this is a totally neutral, unbiased process that we're going to go through in December.
Ms. Okun, would
Mr. Chair, on behalf of the prosecution staff, I object to any further dialogue here.
Okay.
I think this is an objection that should be noted for the record on December 1st,
yeah,
and should be resolved either at or at a pre-hearing conference for that hearing.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I just didn't want there to be a perception out there that somehow the hearing on December 1st is going to be already tainted because of something that happened in front of the Superior Court. Okay. That hasn't happened.
Okay. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Any other member of the public wish to address us? All right. Now we'll move backwards to which item?
15.
15. Carpinteria Sanitary District. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We didn't actually intend to present anything other than what we've already presented in the written materials, but we do have a speaker card from the district manager who wishes to speak.
Okay, and that's Craig Murray.
Right.
Who we heard from earlier today.